America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, Football Monday. The Bills go to 7-2. Kansas City at 7-0. Monday Night Football, home to Tampa tonight. And it is one more Bills game this Sunday at the Colts. And then the Chiefs are here November 17th. I'm not looking ahead, are you? I don't know why anybody would be looking ahead at that.
100% looking ahead at that.
It's not exactly Colts Schmaltz.
No, I'm not. I'm not assuming.
You're not saying Colts Schmaltz.
I'm not assuming a walkover. But I mean, first segment of the show today. I'm like, what are we going to do between now and the playoffs? And it's the one seed. I'm still lost in thinking about the one seed. Go Tampa tonight.
Go Tampa. Joining us now on the Western Hotline is Eric Wood, who called the game, of course, yesterday from the stadium. Eric, big night for you. I think
it is a big night. We have our annual flights and bites at Resurgence tonight. So. Always a great time. We got a ton of people in town for it. Everyone's at the game. Enjoyed a fun Bills game yesterday and excited for a big night tonight.
What song are you going to sing, and is Sal going to play drums again?
Sal will definitely play drums tonight, I would assume. And then I will be singing Should Have Been a Cowboy, and then we'll see where my set goes from there.
Okay. All right. Good.
And how did the card show go for you Saturday? You were on the schedule. We were there Friday. Not signing. They wouldn't have a sign, of course, but we saw you were on the list.
That would be dumb.
Yeah, they should have. You guys are celebrities around here. But, no, it went great. I sat next to Brett Hall and Chris Chelios.
Whoa.
Brought me back to my old NHL video game days as a kid, rocking with those guys. So pretty cool getting to connect with them, and always fun being around everybody.
That's how long did you, obviously you're signing, so you're interacting, you're not a lot of hang time, but how do you spend like an hour sitting with those guys? Those are a couple of, I think hockey people would call them beauties.
Oh, they truly are beauties. Brett Hall and I have connected through the golf scene a little bit. So we were sitting side by side. We had a couple drinks while we were signing our life away and talking about the great game of golf.
Well, how about the great game yesterday at the stadium? The Bills beat the Dolphins again. Eric, I just think about Miami and what it must feel like for Tua, maybe for McDaniel, for some of those guys at this point when it comes to Buffalo. I mean, really, they did a lot of things right. He did a lot of things right. How close, how much better can they expect to have to play to win one of these games and to lose it on that 61-yard miracle? Finding another way to lose to the Bills. It's got to be pretty demoralizing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Bills completely have their number. Josh has won AFC Offensive Player of the Week 5 times in his career against Miami, just putting up astronomical stats over and over against those guys. And, yeah, you feel like you played the game you wanted to play yesterday. Tua goes 25 for 28 in the game. Achane rushes for over 5 yards a carry. Mostert rushes for over 5 yards a carry. You got some stops early in the game, and you feel really good about your game plan and how you executed. You forced Josh Allen to stay patient throughout the game, and besides the one long play to Ray Davis, made him kind of nickel and dime it down the field, and then you lose again in Buffalo. And, yes, it's got to be demoralizing. And to me, it reminds me some of kind of what the Patriots would do to teams in our division over the Tom Brady era, where you feel like you played a great game and you find a way to lose at the end, or they find a way to win it. And Josh and the Bills completely have the Dolphins' number.
How much of a no-brainer for you in the moment, if you can recall for us, was kicking the 61-yard field goal, like even trying it? Like, did you just assume, okay, well, it's fourth down, they're going to try the kick? Or did you think they would try a Hail Mary? What did you think would happen there?
So you're sitting there and there's 10 seconds left. And so generally it's a five-second runoff on a field goal attempt. And so you're thinking, if we miss this kick, they take over at our 49-yard line, but they only have 5 seconds left. So maybe it's a Hail Mary attempt. Could they possibly get, you know, a few yards on an outbreaking route and have a realistic field goal attempt? Now, they were going into the wind. We were downwind. I love the decision, obviously, now, but at the time, seemed like a coin flip, and you got a kicker who banged an extra point off the upright, and it goes in and missed an extra point in the game. And so you give Tyler Bass an opportunity, and credit to him. I think that one would have been good from 70. It was interesting hearing him talking about the kick after the game and saying, you know, maybe try to put a little bit more on it, but generally, whether it's an extra point or it's a 50-yarder, he's trying to have the same swing every time. And credit to Bass, and I'm hoping this can be a springboard moment for him where, mm-hmm. you know, you're celebrated in the locker room, you get the game ball, emotional tears for him after the game, and to me, it just shows how much, you know, kind of weight he's been carrying through some of his struggles starting in the postseason last year and continuing here through part of this season. And so really happy for Tyler Bass, obviously happy that the Bills get the win because of it. But, you know, that's a guy that when he is on, he is truly a weapon for this franchise, and hopefully this is a springboard for him.
I think about, you know, in this one, Eric, just like what it is for Sean McDermott or just maybe most coaches when it comes to kickers, how to deal with them. And I know this is a pretty broad brush because personalities are going to vary, but it's not necessarily going to be in the interview for the head coach. How would you handle a struggling kicker? Maybe, you know, like I think maybe a lot of these head coaches are mostly hands off when it comes to the kicker. One thing McDermott revealed in the post game yesterday was like he was relieved not to have to answer more questions about Bass after this, at least for the moment. So it was maybe starting to work on him a little bit too. Do you know anything about sort of like what he sees his role being when it comes to Bass, or just generally from your experience, what kind of, you know, interaction, if there's even much, there tends to be between a head coach and a kicker?
Yeah, I would assume there's some interaction there. And, you know, Tyler Bass with his contract situation, there's not a whole lot the Bills can do. You really can't cut him because of the cap hit that would come with taking him off the roster. So if you elevated another kicker, you maybe even have to just keep him on the roster, which would be an extremely awkward situation. They brought him in some competition who we've recently released off the practice squad. But I would assume Sean has a decent amount of interaction with Tyler Bass. And just, you know, Sean is great about, you know, building guys up when they need it. And then I always say Sean was generally harder on us after wins. After a win, Sean's going to nitpick the film and tell you that it's, you know, trust, you know, continue, stay in the process, get better each week, no matter if you win or lose. After a loss, he's generally going to point to a lot of positives. And so taking that approach and that philosophy, I would assume his approach with Tyler Bass becomes, Tyler, let's think about how much success you've had in this league. You're one of the strongest leg kickers in the entire NFL. And, you know, just continue to put your nose to the ground, continue to work hard, and success will come. And fortunately for the Bills, it paid off yesterday.
Who would have been your kicker most of those years? Lindell?
Yeah, Lindell was there most of the time. And generally, we had a kickoff specialist as well, which is interesting throughout those times that we would have someone do the kickoffs. And then Ryan Lindell was the kicker most of the time in Buffalo. And then at the end, it was Steven Hauschka, who came over from Seattle. Really good kicker throughout his career.
Lindell missed one extra point in 14 years, by the way.
Much shorter attempts, though.
Oh, that's right. Good point. That's right. That's important to point out. Much different.
I'm not going to pull a Jason Kelce and claim that I can make those field goals and whatnot. I don't know if you saw his kick attempts on College game day the other day after getting into it with Pat McAfee a little bit about undermining kickers, so he embarrassed himself pretty good trying to kick field goal attempts in Timberland boots the other morning.
I would understand if a coach, I know these things are always evolving, if a coach handled kickers the way I think hockey coaches for a long time handled goalies, which was just like, just do what you do. I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it. Just stay in your bubble and just make the saves. Make the kicks, and you'll be fine with me. But, and that's the extent of it. But I'm sure it's more than that now, especially. But.
Oh, and kickers are interesting guys. I mean, you're essentially going out there every week with your job potentially on the line. I understand with Tyler Batts, it's a little bit different based upon his contract situation and all that. But whether you're a long snapper, a punter, a kicker, you get a few opportunities a game, and you got to hope not to embarrass yourself. And so it's a different situation. You know, I could go out on a Sunday as a center and not have my best day, and I'm likely going to have a job that following Monday, even if it's not very fun to watch the film. You embarrass yourself as a kicker, you have one bad snap as a long snapper, you might be off the team.
With Eric Wood, so Keon Coleman injured late in this game. Amari Cooper sits it out with his wrist injury. That's what we've got apparently on Coleman, too. Sean McDermott today said tests are ongoing, so nothing definitive on Coleman. He did say Smoot was heading to IR, by the way. But here in this game, I mean, Coleman played for most of it, obviously, Eric, but no Cooper. Curtis Samuel, back from his injury, 17 snaps, no plays here. And maybe they won't have Coleman. We'll see as the week goes along. Your latest on the state of the passing game. Yesterday's game was more of kind of the where the season started, where a lot of different guys were involved.
Yeah, and the Bills are in a situation now where you got to hope that Amari Cooper can come back, especially if Keon Coleman's going to miss time. And you feel really good about the way the running backs can catch out of the backfield. Your tight ends are producing. Shakir's obviously playing at a high level right now, but if Coleman's out, you got to hope that Cooper can come back. You got to hope that you can get something out of Samuel. Mac Hollins had a nice game yesterday, but he's not a guy that you want to rely on to, you know, make plays throughout this last stretch of the season. And so I'm not sure if this becomes a situation where you try and make another move for a receiver, if there's guys on the roster that you feel confident about, or you just hope that Cooper can come back and the extent of the Coleman injury isn't too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've had about really six quarters of, yeah, I think their passing offense, you know, with Cooper here, it's bearing fruit. And, like, look at Coleman now and Shakir and all this. And, like, then now here we are. Like, I'm very much on edge about Coleman. I feel like the arrows were seemingly pointing up as this season has gotten older, which makes sense with a young guy, a lot of raw talent, and sort of figuring out as he goes. So, I mean, man, cross your fingers and toes that you get at least decent news here, you know, that even if it's just a couple of weeks or something, not season-ending like it appears to be for Smoot.
Oh, you're exactly right, because you look at what Coleman's been able to do these last few weeks, and obviously that play near the goal line yesterday where the ball goes through his hands and ends up in an interception. Obviously, he wants that back. Maybe Josh, I was talking with Steve Tasker on One Bills Live earlier, and Steve said maybe Josh put a little too much heat on that pass, which is a good perspective from a receiver's point of view, because in the moment, as I'm calling the game, I'm saying, you know, that's just an absolute blunder by Coleman in that situation. You go from a walk-in touchdown to giving the Dolphins the ball back, and they march 97 yards for a touchdown. So, Coleman's been playing at a high level these last few weeks. He's truly become a weapon in this Bills offense. You got to hope and pray that he's going to be all right and it's not too bad of news here.
Eric, how about Jordan Poyer here on this play? I mean, that's a bad penalty for Miami. That's going to be incomplete and a punt there with less than a minute to go. Some fans are talking about how Poyer was dirty in their first meeting this year in a case or two, and then you have this yesterday. I don't know. Would it surprise you if he had sort of like violence in his heart or something for these rematches with the Bills, or is it maybe more circumstantial? Either way, I mean, again, that's just a terrible play for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I said it in the moment. You don't expect that out of a 12-year player. You know, Jordan Poyer's got a ton of experience in this league. He's been a smart player throughout his career. One of, you know, the assets that him and Micah Hyde brought to that back end of the secondary was just how brilliant those guys were and how they could confuse people. And then you make a play like that on an unnecessary play. I mean, Keon Coleman, the ball is essentially on the sideline when he lights him up. And they're going to call that 10 times out of 10 in the NFL these days. And just really a bonehead play by Jordan Poyer. And Fortunately for the Bills, it extends the drive. Unfortunately, I believe that's the play that Keon hurt his wrist on. Yeah. But yeah, it's. I mean, if the roles were reversed, we'd be extremely critical of one of our players making that play in that situation if we were talking about that the other way around today.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and I was worried about a head injury. I didn't even notice him favoring his wrist. Now that I've watched the play back a few times, you can see him, you know, as the play is ending, like, you know, sort of holding his arm in a way that indicates that something was not right there. But I thought helmet-to-helmet contact, I was worried about a concussion there. And I don't know, maybe that is something to be worried about too, but obviously the wrist seems to be, you know, seems to be the focus on it. How big a loss Smoot feels to me, like someone who's been like a very, it's like Shaq Lawson plus contribution level. I feel like, you know, he's not super flashy, but I feel like he's been dependable. And I wonder, I mean, we got less than 24 hours now to the trade deadline. And I wonder if any sort of defensive line depth, edge depth, goes to the top of Brandon Bean's list, if he even has a list.
Yeah. I like your comparison there with the Shaq Lawson, you know, DeJuan Smoot, great against the run. He's shown some flashes in his pass rush ability. He's a great depth player for the Bills on the edge. And then when DeJuan Smoot goes out of the game yesterday on the one touchdown run by Devon Achan, Javon Solomon's out there and he gets worked on the edge on that touchdown. And so you have a lot of confidence in Javon Solomon in a pass rush situation right now as a rookie. I'm sure he can develop into a better rush defense player. But at this point, you're likely going to, you know, give those reps to maybe two Hill more. So I'm with you. I think Brandon Bean's likely pretty busy here today, whether it's looking at your receiving depth or, you know, adding a pass rusher or a quality player on the edge or on that defensive line. You know, we've talked about it over the years. The one thing that I've been critical of the Bills in the postseason has there been their lack of ability to be able to create pressure with a four-man rush against those elite quarterbacks, the Burrows, the Mahomes. So if you can add a guy that can affect those quarterbacks at the deadline and provide you at least some depth on that defensive line, I think you got to exhaust all your options here today.
Just to fill this out, I'm just seeing now that McDermott did indicate that there's still some hope that Smoot could come back at some point later, but he is going to go on IR, so at least four games from here. So we'll see if that ends up being realistic.
Well, I think I know the answer to this, but nonetheless, so the Bills are four games up in the AFC East over the Jets, and they've beaten the Jets, of course, once. There isn't any focus challenge here for them, is there? I mean, with Kansas City, race for the one seed, maybe that gets more interesting tonight if the Bills get lucky on that front. Either way, they play the Chiefs coming up. I'm guessing that these guys know not to sort of take anything for granted. Would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to want to continue ascending throughout this season, and so Sean's going to be on those guys, and this is a mature team. They got great leadership. They'll continue to put their foot on the pedal because, yeah, you want to go and host playoff games in Highmark Stadium come January. And so they'll keep their foot on the pedal. It's going to be interesting, though, depending on how this season shakes out. If you got a 5 or 6 game cushion and you clinch the division and other teams are winning, is it a situation late where, you know, whether it's not showing some plays that you want to save for the postseason or, you know, almost load management at the end of the year to try and keep guys healthy for the postseason, Bills could be in a position that, I mean, really, I don't know that they've ever been in, at least not in forever, where, you know, is it, you know, giving some guys some weeks off at the end of the season, or do you continue to play all your starters? It's going to be interesting to see how this season shakes out. You're only 9 games in, but the way your division looks right now, looks like you're going to run away with it. Okay, so then it becomes, how do we handle this? Do we go full bore, try to chase that one seed or even the two seed? Or is it, you know, late in the season, hey, let's give Greg Rousseau a week off, or Ed Oliver or Terrell Bernard, some of these guys who have been dinged throughout their career, so you can make sure that they're healthy for the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Knowing Sean, I would assume it's just play the guys, go try and steamroll everybody, but it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out.
Right. I mean, that for right now, that's where I am. I mean, I opened this segment talking about Kansas City again. They're here in a couple of weeks, and the one seed to me is in the window. You know, that can change, obviously, if they don't drop a game before they even get here. Not that that means it's over. But the Bills schedule, you know, Chiefs, 49ers, you get the Lions in there. You get even a trip to see the Rams, which doesn't sound as easy as it did maybe a month ago. So it's going to be a tougher stretch. We're in sort of a soft pocket of the schedule right now, but until the one is unrealistic, I think I would expect them, I would want them to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you go potentially have a bye in the playoffs, host all your playoff games at home. That's your goal. That's what you're shooting for right now. You know, 5 weeks into the season, 6 weeks into the season, you drop those games against Baltimore and Houston, and it feels unrealistic at the time, but it's such a long season the way it's shaking out now. You know, it looks like that the Bills could be in a position to go chase that one seed. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that's got to be your goal ultimately. And like I just said, with Sean McDermott, I would assume it's just pedal to the metal. Let's go throttle teams if we can, and let's go chase that one seed.
Indianapolis is next. I believe this will be Allen's first start there, which is interesting. I mean, there aren't many of these teams left, but Seattle was one, and the Bills' last trip.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Indianapolis, I think, was when he was injured back in his rookie season, I guess that was. Eric, I missed last Monday, but I think it wasn't even until Tuesday where the Colts made the announcement to go from Richardson to Flacco. Everybody was talking about it last week, that they played last night, didn't get a lot done against the Vikings. What do you think of what they've done with Indianapolis? And is there a point where they would turn back to Richardson? I mean, is it not before you predict the season's over? Or just what have they done here and where is it headed?
Yeah, it's interesting because they got a pretty quality roster. The record's not too bad, so they make that switch. And you're going to try and make a push in that division with Flacco stepping in. I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick make some comments on it to where, look, this doesn't mean they're moving on from Richardson. It doesn't mean he's a bust. They're going to sit and let him learn a little bit from Flacco, let him go run the offense and sideline Richardson for a little while. I believe me and Bulldog talked about last week about how Richardson pulled himself out for a breather. And me and Bulldog, I was telling Bulldog, just make something up. Just say your hamstring was tight.
Right.
And, you know, don't say I was tired after the play. Just go back in the huddle and hope they call a run play where you can hand it off and not have to do a whole lot on that play. But, yeah, it's an interesting situation there in Indy. I was actually just up in Lucas Oil for Taylor Swift last Friday night with my daughter, which was a pretty special experience seeing her experience that. And then this will be my easiest commute of the season driving from Louisville up to Indy to call that one.
Do you get backstage? Does Eric Wood get backstage at Taylor Swift?
No, and I exhausted as much as I could.
You tried.
I hit up the Kelsey's. I mean, I did all I could. I hit up the Kelsey's PR girl and ended up biting the bullet through a ticket broker last minute as my wife was freaking out that it was the week of the concert. We had all these plans to go, and we still didn't have any tickets. So, no, we were not backstage. We were in the 200 level, and we enjoyed it, though. It was pretty special. Good.
Thanks for taking my question. That might have been a rude question, but I was just thinking of it. Okay.
Well, I was backstage for the country concert at Key Bank on Friday night with some buddies, Saturday night up here in Buffalo, which was fun.
Maybe some of you listening will get backstage with Eric tonight after his performance at Resurgence. Thank you, Eric. Hope it's a great night for you, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, there you go. There's Eric Wood. His weekly appearances with us brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Bills have wrist issues. What's going, Bulldog? Why is anybody talking about this? What is going on with the wrist department over there? The wrist doctor.
Somebody better get the. Somebody,
ever since Rusty Jones,
they should make some of the training staff available for media questions. It's gone on too long.
All these wrist injuries. Yeah. There must be a reason. I don't know. There's very possibly no reason
just a weird run of bad luck. Yeah, it's Benford's a wrist. Cooper's a wrist. Now Smoot is going on IR with a wrist, and Keon Coleman. We're wait and see. Did I leave anyone out?
Allen was almost a wrist. Hand/wrist. That's what they're calling Coleman. So what is going on over there? You have to ask yourself. My wrist is a little sore as I'm just constantly, like, seemingly every 5 minutes, deleting political texts. So I'm starting to get a little soreness from just doing that. Yeah. Delete, delete, block, block. That's fun. Sal Capaccio at 5 with his takeaways from the game and more on what was learned today. Coleman could miss time. Cooper, we don't know. It's going to be that kind of week, it seems, well, at least for a couple days until they start practicing again. 803-0550 for your calls. Tyler Bass gets it done. The Bills over the Dolphins yet again to go to 7-2. And even last week, we were starting to talk a little bit about how do they play it this year if they just run away with the division, which they seem to be on their way of doing. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines are open for you. This is WGR.
Extremely humbled and grateful. And man, you're just trying to get one when you become a head coach. I remember that Jets game our first year in 2017, just praying that we could get that first win, that first game. And still have a picture of celebration afterwards on the field there. And I'll never forget it.
Sean McDermott, what is it? 80 wins after yesterday?
Yeah.
55-20 in their last 75 games, the Bills. Not to be ignored. Yes, the playoffs are the hurdle they haven't cleared, but can't clear it today. Only do what you're doing. Get yourself into a better position. And continue to, I was going to say a very bad word right here, mess with Miami, which will go into next year now, having not figured out what to do about the Bills. That's done for this year unless it's the playoffs, which is not impossible.
No, it's not impossible. And you've lost to this team twice. I mean, whatever. The division's out of the question, I think, for them with the two losses. But, you know, you still are, you know, the Chargers, it's not reverse AFC power ranking day. Don't get confused. Chargers, Broncos, Colts, Bengals are like the two teams that are in and then the two teams that are just on the outside. And then it's the Jets. And like that, you look at the Jets and go 3-6. And if you watch them play, you're like, that's just not going to happen. Look at the standings and go, they win a couple in a row. You know, they could be the Broncos. It could flip that fast.
803-0550 for your calls. Here's Greg with us. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Show Bulldog. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, how many more drops does Cook have to make? And with a game on the line, perhaps, where they have more faith in this great running back they picked up in the fourth round. Davis.
Oh, you mean Davis. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Davis in the fourth round. Amazing. And every time he goes in there, he's just that spark. And I was so disgusted with Brady went back to the running on the first two plays, and then third down, we throw it, and we're off the field. It's so discouraging and motivating. Discouraging for us, motivating for the Dolphins. I don't know. What do you guys think? Is this Cook's last year on his contract?
No, it's his third year, and he's a second-round pick, so he's got next year, and then they'll have to make a decision, which, you know, I hope isn't to give him a lucrative second contract, because I don't want to do that with almost any running back ever. Ray Davis is a big part of the reason why. You know, like, just assembly line these guys in and use them up and never overpay them. So we'll see how that goes. I don't think Cook's drop was at a game-costing point in the game, but it could have been a big play. And, you know, it's something that has been a problem for him since he emerged as their featured running back, last year really being it. This year, it has not been as much of a thing, but, you know, yesterday was clearly one. I mean, he just did not see that ball into his hands.
He's not dominating the backfield, though. I mean, Davis is playing enough to, I think, I'm not sort of thinking about that Cook needs to play less. And I'm not a very big Cook fan, and I like Davis just fine. Yards per carry is about the same. Cooks is better. I think it's easy to like the backup. We used to have this with quarterbacks all the time. You know, most popular player on the team. And with it's the drops that sort of crack the door open for, like, the calls for the next guy.
I think the bigger question about the running back usage yesterday specifically is not – I mean, Cook is at 55%. Like, I'm all right with that. I mean, he's earned that. He was excellent for this team last year and has been productive for them this year. The thing that I didn't expect to continue after it looked like Davis had really broken out in the Jet game a few weeks ago is that Ty Johnson would be still out snapping him. Ty Johnson had 10 more snaps than Davis had in this game yesterday, 19-9. And I don't know, and I like Johnson too. I mean, I think they got a nice mix there. But I feel like Davis is the better second guy at this point. But they, you know, at least situationally yesterday, I mean, I don't know what all goes into that. If how much is that, you know, different formations that they like Johnson's skill set versus Davis's skill set, that kind of stuff, game script. But to see Johnson out-snapping Davis is still a little odd to me.
And Cook, for this to this point, he has not been on the field for as much as 60%. Of snaps since week one. 61% in week one is as high for the year. So maybe it seems like that's higher. Maybe it seems like Cook is on the field much more often than about half the snaps. 55% yesterday, 55% in Seattle, 53% against Tennessee. And that's not, obviously, that's not much more than half. So I don't know. I would say that the caller brought up something that I mentioned yesterday, whether there was something strategic about how the game started. I mean, of course, you want to get first downs and points. But the Bills have had, the first quarter has been easily their worst quarter this year. And I think a lot of times teams are sort of probing, what are you going to do if I do this? And what if I use this guy? And what if we send this guy in motion? They want to find out, trying to get information, not at the expense of success, ideally.
Right.
But you want to see what Miami is going to do to whatever looks you want to. You're setting them up for something. And could the Bills be a little bit going overboard with that? I mean, I wouldn't know. But I also was sort of annoyed yesterday. Oh, okay. So much success, just bing, 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 quick passes right out of the box. And instead of yesterday, just like two inside runs, incomplete punt. I mean, that's knowing that the pass didn't hit or that the runs didn't pop or anything. I know that now because it already happened.
Right.
Still, though, that's not my favorite. Because it just seems predictable, and like you really, the gaining yards is the second priority.
Right, but the game, in their defense, in this scenario, the game down there in week two, they ran it all over them. Like, that was the thing that they did in that game. That was Cook's, you know, big game. So
here's Eric next. Hi, Eric.
Hi, guys.
Hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, okay, sorry, man. I didn't sound like you, Mike. Look, McDermott, I mean, people love him or hate him. All 80 wins in 8 years. He's the best ever. He's the best. And he is. He's very good, undeniably. And then there's other people that say, okay, he stinks, he's horrible, we never win a Super Bowl with him. I think he's two-thirds a good coach. And what I mean is, culture, he has definitely improved that in the building. Our organization is one of the top two or three in the league. Player development, undeniable. He makes players better. He's a good coach in that. But game management, he's horrible. That challenge was atrocious. My eardrum still bleeds from Bulldogs' rant after the Philly game last year. I mean, is there any way that a coach would give some of that up because he's great at what he's great at, but he's not at what he's not?
I think that is a lot of that is given up. I think these challenges, I mean, he's got the red flag, but I think most of these situations, they're telling him from upstairs whether to challenge the play or not. I can defend yesterday's. We just had Garrett Wilson on Thursday night get an incomplete pass reversed to a touchdown because they decided that his shin made it to the ground before his knee landed out of bounds. And we're just going to decide how long we think his shin is because there wasn't a tip of the shin. I mean, so that's the Tua play. He's diving for the first down. His shin lands close to the line. It's fourth down. And that's huge. It's early in the fourth quarter, and you know you could need that timeout later. But I don't think it was the worst of these challenges from him. Didn't work. Looked pretty obvious if you ignore the shin, which I'd like to be able to do, but I am so addle-minded about this sport now that I can't ignore the shin.
I didn't ignore the shin, and I hated it. I didn't think it was even clear. I didn't like much of what Trent Green had to say yesterday. Really, I just think there was not any real value added with him telling you anything about the game. But he did say about that challenge, they're going to move the ball up. Like if anything's going to happen here, it's going to that they were too lenient. They weren't as they didn't give Tua enough credit, and that's exactly how I saw it. I just didn't think it was close. Of course, I was paying attention to the shin on the heels of this Wilson play from the other night. I just didn't think there was any chance that was going to be overturned.
You know what else he got right? Mostert and Taylor Rapp on the helmet hit. Trent Green.
Yeah.
Because that flag, he said, they're going to call that on Mostert for lowering his helmet. And I thought, having not seen the replay, I thought to myself, I've never seen that called on an offensive player. That's another one that when the NFL made that rule, I'm like, oh, sure. Josh Allen lowers his head to get a first down. They're going to call 15 yards on Josh Allen. No, they're not. And that was right. They never throw that flag, even though the helmet's lowered. It's only on defensive guys. And that one was a horrendous call on Rapp. I mean, Rapp totally takes the brunt of Mostert's
helmet.
I'm
glad you were there to say that about Green, because that's right. He was right on that. And I probably exaggerated to make the point.
I mean, the guy's never seen a kick he didn't like.
No, that's for
sure. that one, I think he had the right instinct there. Like, that can't be on the defense.
Yeah.
And that's what the replay showed, too.
He also, now that you mentioned it, I was really hard on him for no good reason. I thought he was pretty fair about the holding calls, too. The two holding calls, I think he didn't rip the officials, but it was very much to me sounded like what an announcer sounds like when he's thinking, I can't be too obvious about this, but I don't know if there's a lot there. That's usually the furthest they'll go, and I think he went there on both of those. Just like that looked like a technique.
When the Bills got to like 3rd and 30.
Yeah, right.
Allen's touchdown called
Allen's
back.
Allen's touchdown called back, and there was a the play before that was also called back. So the Allen touchdown was on 2nd and 20. Nope.
Yeah, well, they kept it close.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio coming up in less than 20 minutes. We'll look for your calls again after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Football Monday, WGR. Caller 5 right now, it's 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at KeyBank Center next Saturday, November 16th, courtesy of Live Nation. It's a week from Saturday, for those of you that are particular about this Saturday versus next.
Thank you.
I'll try to be more careful.
Management appreciates the clarification.
Tickets are on sale for this show at Ticketmaster.com. Who are you to speak for management?
The show.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
That's all.
All right. You.
Me. That's right. Me.
Yes. John is next. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Should the Bills still be working out kickers even after this great kick by Tyler? I just don't want to have the Bills do themselves a disservice by not doing everything we possibly can to get the best product out on the field before the playoffs come. I'm still concerned about Tyler. I'm as happy about the kick as anyone else, but those extra points are still lingering in my head. Mm-hmm. And if I were the Bills right now, I would still be looking to put the best possible kicker on the field any given week, and certainly before the playoffs. I wanted to know what you guys felt about that.
I'm definitely in favor of them doing exactly that, and I feel like that's where they've ended up here. I don't think they will lose the phone numbers of any of the people that they worked out. I don't know if the guy that was here on the practice squad was so erratic in practice that they decided, like, this ain't it, or if they just decided to use that practice squad spot on Deion Kane and just, you know, we need the spot. Once you've gotten sour on a guy at that position, I feel like some of the people that follow the team, some of the fans, even maybe some of the players, is always going to be a little side eye. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm like that with every kick, always. I don't care. Extra point, 20. He's made 60 in a row. I don't know. He can miss at any
time.
He's
due to miss.
A lot can go wrong. So I don't know that I'm ever not nervous about my kicker. I think, you know, there are guys who seem automatic and then they miss. And you go, hey, well, boy, that doesn't happen that often. Like, no, it doesn't. That's why they seem automatic. But they're not. None of them are. I don't know. I feel really good about Bass today. I hope that whatever has been troubling him, assuming something has been troubling him mechanically or mentally, confidence-wise, that yesterday does just a world of good for him, and that it's behind him and he makes 70 in a row from here or something. I don't know. But to me, you bring it up. Like, it's fine to bring it up. I'm not criticizing you for bringing it up. It just assumes, like, the Bills would go, oh, he made a 61-yard kick. We're all set. I mean, they're running a team over there.
It's week to week.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And they're not doing anything about it this week. That would be weird. But if he misses another time or two and it seems it's costly and just feels like it's not going to get all the way better, then you do something then. There's no deadline for this, like the trade deadline.
No.
You're not trading for somebody. So it's just, we'll see what happens next week, but I doubt that they're looking to replace him this week. Joe Flacco is not being replaced this week. And apparently the Colts are saying, the head coach said, or at all this year. So they are taking that one all the way to the into the ground there with Flacco.
Right.
Bills and Colts Sunday from Indianapolis. Thank you, John. Sal next. This is WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.